And now, your weekly program of conversation, discussion, and local news, the 10 Radio Community Show.
Jeremy Birchall's new signature tune for the Community Show. Jeremy, it's fantastic to hear this tune that we're now going to be playing at the beginning of the show and throughout the show from now on. A new jingle, a new feel for the show and so on. A lovely, lovely theme. But tell us how we actually started with all of this 10 Radio identity, because way back when we first started, You actually were heavily involved. Tell us what you did then.
Yeah, it was very soon after I came to WIWI, actually, in 2006, beginning of 2006, I think it was, and the station was, had done 1 month of broadcasting and then another isolated month, and they very, very excitedly got the licence to be full-time. And at that point, because I had written the odd jingle in the past, I suddenly thought it'd be nice to help out by creating the identity for the whole station, and nobody seemed to stop me, so I did it.
Nobody would dream of stopping you, because you did the idents, the trailers, and so many pieces for the whole station so well, using people involved in 10 Radio. So it's their voices into your work that actually introduces the station to listeners, which is a brilliant thing.
Oh, well, thank you.
I mean, we're still using them, you know, 10 years later.
Yeah, I'm amazed. I'm totally amazed.
But bearing that in mind and knowing your skills in editing and all the music that we know you for anyway, this is why Anton thought it would be a good plan to talk to you about thinking of some music that we might be able to ask you to create for the Community Show signature tune, because we've had various pieces of music over the years, and latterly Johnny Mars's 10 Parishes theme, which is fantastic. But I just felt, and Anton too, that we could do sort of a little more to give it its own identity. And that's what you've done with this lovely introduction, just less than a minute long. And what we're going to hopefully do now is talk about how you make such a thing. Because at the moment, I'm sitting in your studio and I'm looking at a whole series of screens covered in different coloured lines with bits of blobs all over them.
There's a lot of blobs.
This is a technical phase.
There's a lot of blobs. It's very technical, and I think they're blobs too, which is encouraging. Well, to take you back, the whole thing did start with somebody having an idea, obviously, and what it was is I happened to run into Anton Matthews in the main street at WIWI, and I was just doing some shopping, and he just sort of coloured me and said, "I've just been taught you're the very person I need to talk to," as one does in WIWI on the... I can't remember what morning it was, but Friday morning, presumably, because it was after the show, wasn't it? And he said, "We're looking for some new intro music for the Community Show. Just been talking to Pauline about it. Would you be interested?" And I said, "Well, I haven't thought about that for a while." But
and he didn't have your arm up your back at the time.
No, well, he was working on it. But and so I vaguely sort of I can't remember what I was doing that day, but I certainly didn't have time to think about it that day. But I, over the period of a week or two, I did think about it a little bit, and then I thought, right, I've got some time. It'd be fun to do. And I haven't written any music, sort of original music, since the jingles, really. I mean, I've done a little bit of arranging for various groups of mine and things, but nothing original. And I thought, right, okay, it's all right. I can do, you know, something less than a minute. So I did that. And then I thought, right, the the first thing one does in a professional scenario when you're doing this sort of thing is you need to get a brief as to what sort of music and how long and what the reason for it is and all that sort of thing.
So and of I course, thought we had a very professionally, you know, 9-page closely typed brief to give you. Ho ho ho.
No, it was, as you know, it was I just phoned you up, didn't I? Mm. Yeah, I'd already had some very vague ideas without having anything very specific at the time, as you know. And you emphasised the fact that you wanted something that was sort of pacey, that would get on with it. And you quite liked the ideas that I put to you of I don't know, whatever it was. I can't remember. It was all a bit vague at the time.
Well, it was. We felt that an acoustic piece, a new piece, so that it couldn't be identified to any particular group or music that people know, because that kind of slots a thing, doesn't it? Mm. Something completely one-off and new, but nothing that's been done before.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, here it is. It's called a community show. It's a friendly show. It's a very all-encompassing show. You talk to so many different people on it. And I just suddenly thought a guitar sound, a classical guitar or an acoustic guitar sound would sound a friendly sort of sound, really. So that's basically what I started with. I suddenly thought, right, this is the sound that I'm going to build it around. And just to, first of all, take you into my little blob machine in front of me, which is, to anybody else that might know about these things, is actually called a sequencer, and it's a thing called Logic Pro. And on this sequencer, there is a type of thing which is called a sampler. The sampler looks like that.
So now what we've got in front of us, what almost looks like a desk. A screen showing, if you like, a radio disc. There are sliders there and there are all sorts of other knobs and so on. I mean, what we're doing, what you're actually doing, Jeremy, here is creating this music from the computer.
I am indeed. That's basically what a sampler is. Somebody has gone out and recorded a real guitar note by note, and there is a different sound file for each note.
Or there probably is, and
there might be one, two or three per octave, and they mess around with it. But I'm pretty sure this one was done note for note, so there'll probably be as many files sitting around on my computer as there are keys on the piano for this one sound.
Really?
And the same for all the other sounds. And as you're about to see, there are quite a lot of different sounds here. And these are all the listing of the sounds. And I basically went down this long list, which says pianos, bass, keyboards, whatever, and I got down to this thing saying guitars, and then I go over to the right here where it says acoustic guitars, and then I have this long list of acoustic guitars that
so
I've got.
So many choices.
I know, and I did audition a few, and I think I ended up with something called classical acoustic guitar, and then that loads all these files into here. So I've got that sound, and then these things on the left here are all different sort of channels, different things. You can do two main things on this type of program. You can record live microphones, as indeed we are on an identical program to my left now that we're talking into, and you can see the waveforms happening here. And you can also record something called MIDI, which is short for Musical Instrument Digital Interface, which is basically you can play a keyboard. I've got a keyboard over the other side of the studio there, and that sends what they call MIDI information, and then that can control one of these samplers.
So that keyboard becomes a digital file?
It's a way of sort of playing the notes on the guitar, if you like.
Right.
So when I play that keyboard, normally it's just a piano, but if I apply it to this sampler that I've just shown you here, it will sound like a guitar.
Wow.
And that's how I started. I was over there at my keyboard, which is the other side of the studio, and I just fiddled around. And
so you were just on the keyboard, just playing themes and tunes? And
yeah, I'll show you a little bit.
Huh. How incredible. So that's on the actual keyboard, black and white notes that I can understand. Now we're actually back to the computer screen where it becomes a guitar.
It became a guitar.
Hmm.
And through this wonderful thing called a sampler.
How clever.
And then what I did was I recorded probably roughly what you heard just there, but in a less refined way because I hadn't quite worked out what it was. And then I thought, actually, I quite like that. And I'll just show you when I've recorded it. I can then derive this musical score. And this is more or less what I've just played here.
Yes.
Although you may not realise it.
So, of course I do. So what Jeremy's done, listeners, is on the bottom of the screen, he's just clicked onto the acoustic guitar line, but there has a whole series of proper notes, semiquavers and so on have appeared, so that we have actually got real music that I can kind of understand and read, and so can many people. So it can be electronic, but it can also be a visual musical piece as well, which it is.
Yes, that's right. So I did something very vague like that, and then I think probably what I did was try to work out, I probably did it very slowly. I then decided, right, how fast do I want this thing to go? And then I sort of ran this machine, which I'm going to do into a blank place here, and you can play a little metronome, which...
A metronome.
You can just hear there.
We can hear it ticking, yes.
And I think I probably... I don't know what this was on, really.
Oh, you can speed it up.
You can change the tempo of it.
Yes.
And then I tried playing this thing against these clicks.
Mm.
And then eventually I discovered what I hoped would be right. And I ended up with 75 beats per minute.
And that was the right sort of level.
That gave me, it was sort of matching the material with a speed,
yes.
If you like.
Yes.
And it's something that any piece of music that's being performed by other performers, the performers have to make a decision as to what speeds to do at what point.
Mm.
And also,
it will sound, as a musician, it will sound to your natural ear right,
yes,
in one way and not right in another.
Exactly. I mean, there are many, many degrees of rightness, and so it is a personal decision, the speed I ended up with.
Yes.
But that was basically the next stage.
Mm.
And then I think I recorded a little bit of it at that speed, and then I probably played a whole load of wrong notes. And what you can do is you can actually click on these little notes, and that's the very first note that it played. So just to remind you, the finished version sounds like this. And I'll just play you the guitar by itself, in fact. And when it repeats itself in that second bar, had I decided I wanted that different, I'm just going to do a slightly discordant note to make it very obvious. I can get hold of that note and move it.
And drag it to another position.
Yeah. I'm just dragging it to it was a G and now it's an A flat. So the second bar, you'll hear another type of note now. So. Now that sounds quite wrong, doesn't it? Yes. So there were quite a lot of those that I played to start with, you see. Mm. So I was doing the reverse process. I was dragging things that weren't in good places into places that are good.
Mm.
But there are also quite a lot of good places, if you like. So there's a lot of different permutations. And you can also drag it in time as well. So I can make that just slightly later than that. I can put it there. So now if you play it, it'll be slightly later this time when I play it.
So there's almost a half beat there before it goes wrong.
Exactly.
How interesting.
Exactly. And like all computers, you can just undo what you've done.
Yes. So please undo it. That was a very discordant chord.
Yes. Yeah.
But how clever.
So I did a little bit of it.
Mm.
And then I thought, okay, I've done two bars here, which I've just played you a few times. And I thought, right, I'll have something very similar to that for the next two bars.
But higher. And so we go up a lift.
But higher. So so having got that, you then get this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's reinforcing the first two bars, but
yes,
but up.
but up.
Yes.
And then I thought, right, that's in classical music terms, a sort of very sort of quick exposition. I sort of, right, that's what I'm about. This is the theme. And I then sort of thought, right, how long does that bit take? actually, you can see from the screen here that, well, it's I've included the intro, so that's a bit different, really. But I worked out however long that was, that four bars. And I thought, how many bars do I need to do the type of length we were thinking about? And I came to the conclusion I needed 12. And it was just a mathematical thing to, if I carried on at that speed, that would more or less do me 45 seconds, which we originally talked about.
Hmm.
So then I planned to have it as a three-part thing, being 12. I thought, right, I'll have four bars, and then I'll have something else for four bars, and then I'll have the last four bars will start pretty similarly to the way the first bit starts. But in fact, I've put it up an octave, so it's the same thing but higher. But in the middle, I will do a sort of development, if you like, that I go away from that theme and do something else. So this is the middle four bars that I did coming up. Okay, so that's the middle four bars. And then I get on to the final four bars where I put the tune up a bit. Up there. Okay. And then what I've done is I've repeated it, but I've changed the harmony here. This is in C major with the C there. And then I've gone down a whole tone there, and then down another whole tone there, and this one sounds a little bit more minor on the third one. So the last four bars sounds like this. Change your harmony and change again to the minor. Okay, and then I come to that chord when I'm just approaching the end, and one or two people have noticed it already, but then these last two bits are in fact 10 radio jingle. So so the last two bars go. So that's 10 radio. And so there we are. I'd sort of got a structure for it.
Mm. And those last three bars, the way they progress, is actually taking your mind and your ears to a beginning. I mean, it's actually a small journey, isn't it?
Yeah. You start somewhere, you go somewhere in the middle, and you come back in a slightly different way.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. And that little lift in the middle, I love it. It's really the. I think that's just so good. Well, obviously, it really is lovely and unique to us.
Yeah. What I was playing you throughout those little things was just the guitar part, and I've added quite a lot of other things, so I'd just like to very quickly just sort of whip through those. In addition to the guitar part, which we've heard here, we've also got a sort of guitar. I put on another guitar bass part, which sounds like this, which sort of emphasizes the bass a bit more.
Oh.
So if I put the guitar back, it'll away again.
Yes.
So there's that.
Yes.
And then what else have I got? I thought basically by itself, just like that, I didn't think it sort of had as much pace as I was hoping to get. So what I tried to do was, mainly in the percussion here, to give it a little bit more pace. And so I've got this, what have I got? So I've got, that's, it's almost a sort of muted tambourine type sort of thing.
Mm.
And then I also put this sort of side drummy thing in here.
Yes.
So the side drum's going at one speed, and then the tambourine is going at double that speed.
Yes, double it.
And when you
yes.
put it together with that, it just gives it a bit more movement.
It's like a bass line for the thing, isn't it?
It's a bass line, yes. and a percussion part that gives it a little bit of oomph. And then I thought, right, it needs just a little bit more magic. Sorry, where's my mouse gone? It's gone over there. I get back to here. And then I thought, right, I'll put on this little glockenspiel part, which sounds like this.
Isn't that lovely?
So that's that. And and then I also, if you like, the guitar part here sounds like this again. So the basic tune is do 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 do, but there's a lot of other notes there. And I thought I'd pick that tune out on a very, very sort of plain sort of synthesizer-y sort of sound, which I've got here.
Gosh.
So if everything sounds...
Yes.
But I've what we call mixed it back. There's in another part of this thing, there's a mixer here, and you can have various proportions of each of the sounds, and I've hopefully done in a sort of subtle way.
The layers in the piece. I mean, it sounds simple, but of course nothing is simple. This is like a really, really very tall layer cake of different sounds, and that sound I hadn't picked up.
It's a subtle thing there. Mm. And then as we were trying to do earlier, I wrote this little intro, which I didn't quite. I knew Robin was going to do his the words to introduce the community show at some point, and I wasn't, when I first wrote it, I wasn't sure whether it would be in the middle of what I'd written, or whether it would be better at the beginning within some sort of intro, and I eventually came to that conclusion.
Because the intro sounds like whooshing noise. Another technical term, Jeremy.
You know. It does sound like whooshing noise.
How did you make that noise?
You're probably not going to believe this. The whooshing noise is all you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is that what I sound like?
Whooshing
noise. I know a lot of people might say that, actually.
Over the years, you've very kindly either interviewed me or Jill, and I've recorded it here quite often, mostly anyway. And I managed to find some old interviews, and then I put them all together, which you can see on this other document, which I've got on the screen now. And you get things like this.
Good morning and welcome to Friday the 22nd of August and the 10 Radio...
Okay, and that's the first track, and then the second track I've got...
You're listening to the 10 Radio Community Show with Eddie and Pauline this morning. You're listening to the 10 Radio Community Show with Eddie and Pauline
this
morning.
And then I've put you on a loop, as you can see.
You're listening to the 10 Radio Community Show.
So you're hearing yourself quite a lot of times.
Yes.
And then I've got some other ones here, which also I put in.
On a Friday that's actually...
So they're all different things of you.
Goodness.
All right. And then what I did was there were too many of them originally. And I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got 5 of them there now. So this is what 5 of them sound like, just playing all at the same time. But I've what we call panned them, which is sort of moved. It's using the left and rightness of stereo to varying degrees. So that very first one will be fairly hard left, and then it'll be sort of gradually across the panorama between the speakers, and so it'll be a mixture of 5 of you coming up.
That is quite scary.
But I thought, this is a show that's about talking.
Yes, it is about talking.
And it's about community, and I thought, out there, there's loads of people talking.
Mm.
And my idea was to create this thing which sounded like a crowd that came in from on high and then came down to a level that we then had a show, if you like.
Well, when we discussed this at the very beginning, you did sort of speak about a cloud of voices was a thought you had sitting in your head somewhere.
Yes.
But I didn't think it was the whooshing noise at the beginning.
So to continue, what I did was I played all that lot, and then I put it into this sampler thing that I showed you very, very early on, which meant I could play you on the keyboard at any pitch.
Oh God!
And you got played at high pitch, and then I gradually sort of went. I came down the keyboard and brought it down. And these are the notes that got played, which it looks like a piece of very modern music, doesn't it? And what it sounds like, because I've done it from high to low, it sounds like this. comes down, as you can hear. And I've taken the volume down because Robin's talking over this bit. And then that's the point where the tune comes in.
And now you've explained that, Jeremy. Within that, I can hear very distant words, but you can't.
Yes,
I mean, that's so
yes, they didn't really want you to hear exactly what it was.
No,
but on the other hand, if you have so many, you really can't hear anything. It just really does sound like a flock of birds.
That's amazing. A flock of birds, yes.
A flock
it
of
does.
Birds. And what I did for the final sig tune, which you may or may not play at the end of your show, is I reversed that. So the beginning of that one starts with a low flock that goes high before the tune.
Before it stops.
Yeah.
Gosh, that is so clever. You know, for something that actually does sound so simple, and I don't mean to sound patronising, there's so many layers to it.
Yes.
It's
yes.
amazing what you can do. Because not only are you a classical musician, but you can do all this technical stuff as well. That's what stuns me, because it's so...
I'm a problem solver by nature, and the whole of this thing it's sort of ideas. And then, I mean, it's probably not that different to being an artist, I would think, when you've got a blank canvas, really, when you're doing this.
Hmm.
You're sort of problem solving and working out what you'd like where. You're suiting a function for this as well. I mean, I'm not just doing anything that I want to do just to please myself. I'm doing something, hopefully, that will do the job
pertinent
as being introducing this particular program.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And the artist analogy is good, because artists build up their work in layers, generally, conventional 2D. And the skill is knowing when to stop, I suspect.
It is, actually.
Too much in.
And I'd just like to add in that because I've got this introduction here that has got the birdie noises above it, and the whole thing sounds like this. I did have this Glockenspiel sound in there as well. And I played it to Jill, and she said it sounds too much like Christmas at the beginning. And I'll play it to you as Christmas. Sounds a little bit belly, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It's a bit December. So for the rest of the year, I've taken that bit out, and that bit only starts when the main tune starts, which is there.
Yes.
And finally, having done all that, we got Robin in, and these were all his takes. We've gone up to the top of the sequencer now, and we've gone onto the audio side, and this is the one we eventually chose, which sounds like this.
And now, your weekly programme of conversation, discussion and local news, the 10 Radio Community Show.
Robin has got the nicest voice, hasn't he?
He has.
He's perfect. He's
has.
Utterly BBC.
But as you probably remember with the ident things, they had to fit an exact sort of time window. So we did have to, because I wanted the swoopy, your swoopy noises to come down for exactly 2 bars, 8 beats. And then I wanted his bit to be in the next 8 beats before the tune starts exactly there.
And how many takes did you do before you got it into the exact right
time? I can tell you, because they're all here, actually. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. No, it was the 10th take, I think
it
was.
The 10th. That's Apposite, 10 Radio, 10th take.
10th take.
Look at that.
Yeah. So that's how it is.
Oh,
so,
how fantastic.
Shall I play it all through again?
I think that would be lovely to join it all together.
See if it's all still there. I think it is. Good. Well, it's been very nice talking to you.
Jeremy, it's been fantastic seeing how the music was created, as well as hearing it, because if only listeners could also be here, but we don't do TV, obviously, but if they could see what we've been looking at, they would understand. Hopefully you have understood, because now I can see how this layer cake of different noises and elements all come together to make what I think is just a lovely introductory piece for the show. So thank you so much. It's been a joy to hear how it was made, and thank you for giving us a new identity, Jeremy.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
And now, your weekly programme of conversation, discussion and local news, the 10 Radio Community Show.
Nice. That journey is lovely.
You like that? Yes. Yeah.
Yes, it's getting to the point, and then it's slow and quiet.
Yes. Thank you.
So now the words come.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.